Well, the bye week's over, so the Jags have to get down to business this week. This is Tony Wiggins with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. Well, the AFC South continues to take shape, and the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't have anything to do with that because they were off this weekend, but they have a big game coming up this Sunday with the Indianapolis Colts, who have had their own troubles as of late, and now are only one game in front of Jacksonville at 5-4. The Tennessee Titans were a surprise winner yesterday against Kansas City, increasing their record to 5-4. And of course, the Houston Texans are out in front of the division, telling everyone to catch them if they can. Jacksonville has a lot to play for. Just about everyone who is in front of them in the wild card race is on their schedule down the stretch. I believe of the last seven games, five or six of them are against teams that are in the running for a playoff position. Jacksonville has a real chance to control its own destiny. And they get a chance to do that by facing off against the very people that's in front of them. They have four games down the stretch here against division teams. Two against the Colts. I'm sorry, that's three games. Two against the Colts and one against Tennessee. In fact, the Colts and the Tennessee game is back-to-back. If you're looking for whether or not the schedule is favorable for Jacksonville or not, I don't like the fact that the Titans get a bye after a big emotional home game win against the Chiefs, and with Ryan Tannehill starting to heat up and play so well for them, having an entire week where they can really focus in and hone in on Jacksonville, that's concerning to me, because they get that whole week to prepare, and that game will be it'll be a week from this coming Sunday. The Jaguars may also have to face Jacoby Brissett coming back off of missing a week, basically missing two games. He got hurt very early 2 weeks ago with a sprained knee, and he missed this past week against the Dolphins. I kind of believe that he could have played, but what they did was they assumed, okay, with Brian Hoyer, we can go with Hoyer. We can rest Jacoby Brissett, go with Hoyer a little bit, and go ahead and win out, squeak out a win against what people thought were the hapless Dolphins who were trying to tank. Turns out Miami is playing like they got something to play for, and really starting to hone in situationally, football-wise. And Miami snuck up and beat them. It was a close game, but Miami got the Colts, and I think the Colts just threw one away. They had too many injuries yesterday. So you wonder, why do you care about them, man? This is all about the Jags for us. We don't care about them. Well, you have to know who's in front of you and what kind of resistance you're going to get. The one thing I will tell you is the Jaguars have their own good things that are happening, and some of that is they're getting healthy guys back. D.D. Westbrook has had time to rest up his banged up shoulder, and then you're going to get Leon Jacobs and guys like that back. D.J. Hayden has had an extra week in order to work out his stuff and get treatment. So you add those three with Nick Foles coming back for Jacksonville, and it bodes well for him. Foles gives them a different dimension. Even if you are in the whole camp saying that he shouldn't start, that he's average, you don't like him or whatever, he still gives them something that teams don't have take for. And I think that it is an advantage Jacksonville, whereas you kind of got the feeling that teams were starting to really understand and get the little cadences and get the timing down with Gardner, and the teams, if they were capable enough, were going to start trying to make him play from a box the way Houston and New Orleans did. With this is all different, and there's nothing that coaches in the NFL like or hate worse than surprises or things that they haven't seen. Those guys are at their absolute best when they can get a beat on you. And right now, Nick Foles is the unseen commodity as it is and as it pertains to this particular team and the different things and the way that this particular team can play. So I would expect a big dose of Leonard Fournette coming in this week against a Colts front seven that's a little bit banged up. Get the play action game going to slow down the pass rush. And then what they're going to do offensively is, I think eventually they're going to take some shots. You're going to see more deep nine routes. You're going to see more posts, more double moves down the field than you did with Gardner Minshew because of the skill set. So That's it. The Jacksonville Jaguars are back this week, and we'll have all of the coverage from practice, as well as give you anything that Doug Marrone says during his press conferences. All right, so moving forward, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look here at what Jacksonville can do when they come back, what offensively and defensively they'll have to do to be successful, and what they can bring to the table. Also, just take a look around at some of those teams that's getting hot and some of the trends that I see that make me a little bit nervous, and what my hope is for Jacksonville coming up this week. We'll do that on a Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to everyone who is currently serving or who has served this great nation. It is a big part of me and my family, and we appreciated the privilege and still appreciate the privilege to serve this country in uniform. And we thank everyone else who has done the same. It's Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguar. All right, my friends, this is Tony Wiggins. Let me tell you about my friends over at Blue Chew. I tried Blue Chew the other night, and I'll just say this. Wow, my partner agreed. When I tried Blue Chew, I really noticed something extra. That's right. Okay, here's what you need to do. What Blue Chew is a chewable version of male enhancement, and what it does, it is just helps you get your mojo back in your sex life, all right? Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the U.S., and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. All right, here's what you got to do. You go to BlueChew.com. The promo code is MLB, like Major League Baseball, right? And what our special offer is if you know, you do this and you do it now, you get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. You just pay the $5 in shipping. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And trust me, you'll thank me and your significant other will do the same thing once you use Blue Chew. Okay, moving along on this Veterans Day, and once again, it's a beautiful day here in Jacksonville, and we take this time to thank anyone and everyone who's ever served in the United States military. It's been the biggest honor and privilege of my life and my family's life to have been a part of the United States Armed Services, and we thank you all for that privilege. I do believe that what Jacksonville has to accomplish or find, they have to get a rhythm. I noticed when I watched the games, especially those games yesterday that involved playoff teams, because there was some quirky stuff going on too. You had three of the worst teams in the league yesterday actually beat what we thought was three of the best teams in the league. So it was a weird thing, a weird dynamic. But with those teams that are still fighting for something, they're really greased up, man, when it comes to the coordination between the head coach or the coordinator and the quarterbacks and what everyone expects. And you really saw that a lot in the Titans game yesterday. What I'm hoping is, and this is the only drawback for me with not going with Gardner Minshew, the drawback for me is that Nick Foles is coming back at a time and a period where everyone else has been playing. They're all oiled up, and the uniform. This is not literal. This is figuratively speaking. The uniforms have a little dirt in them, and Foles is coming to the party clean. When I saw these teams yesterday, there were things that they were doing that you especially down the stretch in critical moments. Even last night with Dallas and Minnesota, there were things that these teams were doing that they're doing them because they've been out here. They've been going through this stuff over and over again. But to Foles' credit, he is the king, if you will, of being able to step into these moments and look and appear as if he's been there. This is kind of his MO. This is what got him all of his monikers, the BDN and all of this stuff. This is what Nick Foles is known for. This is what he does. So from that perspective, I'm not really, inclined to be as concerned about that as I normally would, but it's still something that, you have to pay attention to. And, what you're paying attention to is you're looking at the fact that These other teams, they're all greased up and oiled up. I think the biggest thing for me is I hate the fact that Tennessee, because I believe Jacksonville actually has to win a minimum of 5 games to even, they have to win a minimum of 5 games, and that means they can't lose but two, and they have to hope all of these other things happen. And by the way, if they're going to lose 2 games, it should be Tampa and Atlanta. Beat these other teams that's in the AFC. Tampa and Atlanta, and those games are not as easy as we might have imagined them once being, because it depends what Jameis Winston shows up. And it depends how the Tampa Bay offensive line plays. And then Atlanta goes into New Orleans yesterday with a healthy Matt Ryan. And, well, a gimpy Matt Ryan, but he was healthy enough to play. And they whooped the Saints. I mean, they whooped the Saints in New Orleans. And you can't tell me that the Saints overestimated them, because that's a rivalry game. Those two, that's Cowboy Redskin type stuff. That's Eagles Cowboy stuff. They're going to slug it out regardless of what their records are and what the individual situations are. And Atlanta, I watched a good 70% of that game. They whipped them from point A to point B, from start to finish. So this is the NFL, man, and these games are never, never really easy, regardless of what the team's record is. But I will tell you this, if the Jaguars can win 6 or 7 with Foles, they'll go into the playoffs as the hottest team in the conference, and that'll get them to 10-6. If you win 6 out of 7, you get to 10-6. I kind of think the division is a little bit out of reach at this point, although the Texans do play the Ravens this week, so there's a chance that some ground could be made up there. I'm a firm believer in the fact that what you play for, just play to get into the tournament. You don't really need, it's nice to win a division and have the home game, but. And the only way they're going to do that is they win 7 in a row and then Houston starts to fall. But even with that, Houston can't end up 11-5 just like Jacksonville, because Houston's beat them twice. And stuff like that makes you go, what if? And you know what I'm talking about. What if they'd have just tied the game up in Houston earlier this year and used their momentum in their defense and gone into overtime and won the game? Josh Lambeau could kick it from San Antonio. I mean, you don't need great field position to give him a chance to win, especially inside. I understand the thinking, and I saw a couple of teams do this yesterday. I understand the thinking, and the thinking is you don't want to have to score twice. You just want to score once. Somebody was like, yesterday in the Carolina game, it was 24-16, and instead of going for one, Carolina went for two to try to make it 24-18, where a touchdown would then have won the game for them, as opposed to you're on the road, it's snowing, you're in Green Bay. The chances you scoring 3 times in the fourth quarter is hard. So what coaches try to do is say, okay, worst case scenario, we'll score. If I don't get two, then I know I have to score again to get two just to tie. And then the thing that I was trying to avoid, I'm going to have to do it anyway. I'm going to have to get those extra points. So I really do get the philosophy behind it, but sometimes these things are just overthought, and you have to know when you have the momentum and just extend the game. When you're losing, always extend the game. That's just the way I see it. But hindsight is 2020. It's going to be critical to me what they do with the Colts, because the Colts is a team the Jaguars haven't seen this year, and and vice versa. I do believe the Colts are a little bit banged up, and I think Jacksonville can sweep them. Colts were an improved team last year, and Jacksonville held them to 0 points right here in TIA Bank. And there was something that I heard this weekend. I heard from a veteran when we're wondering how do the players feel about the quarterback switch. And what I want to do, I want to get into that in just a second on another segment, because sometimes, I don't necessarily believe in subliminal stuff or cryptic things. I don't think it's a binary issue for you to want to root for one guy and think one guy can play, and then to also believe that another guy may give you a better chance. It's not like everyone looks for everything to always be Well, when you praise one guy, that means you're putting down another guy. And that's the whole perception and social media type atmosphere and attitude. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that. So we'll talk about the quarterbacks. We're going to talk about what I believe the players feel moving forward. But first, if you need to treat yourself to a meal you deserve and your favorite restaurants come to you, that's right. You better make sure they come to you. And you can do that with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners get $5 off of their first order or $15 of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. All right, buckle your seatbelt. One more segment to go. We're going to talk quarterbacks here on Locked On Jaguars. Okay, now, check this out. This isn't anti-Gardner. That's not what this is. And I know a lot of people try to make it that this is not what I think it is. And it's also not what I believe Calais Campbell was trying to come across, the message he was trying to convey. I think it was when he was on First Take or wherever. Calais Campbell just kind of said that he thought that if Nick Foles hadn't got hurt, he'd be in the MVP conversation. This goes along with the line of thinking that what I was telling people, that Calais saw something in training camp, like we all did. Anybody who was there, you saw something in training camp. And I used to wonder and ask, do we think we're seeing something because of how bad it's been around here for 8 years, minimum 8 years, with the quarterback position? Because it looks that much better, you know. Example, if you've been riding around in a 83 Chevette for 10 years and finally that Chevette just gave out and someone gives you a 2008 Buick and it seems like the greatest car you've ever had, do you honestly think that 2008 Buick is the greatest car you've ever had because it is? Do you think it's the greatest car you've ever had because you're just comparing it to the Chevette you've been driving around? Or do you ride around in that Buick as if it's a Bentley because it feels so much better than the old car? That's what I think I had to guard myself against when I watched Nick Foles, because I never thought Nick Foles was anything above a middle-of-the-road quarterback in the NFL. I did, however, have a nephew that played in Philly with him, and he told me that there's something special about it. And then you find out the guys in Philly still have a shrine of him there, and that some people even talk about there being broken allegiance, and I don't know how true it is, that people wanted him to stay instead of Carson Wentz. But you start to get the feeling that there's more to him than meets the eye. And it's almost, I compared him on one podcast to like Jim Plunkett, a guy that just never really lived up to expectations, but all he did was win Super Bowls. Maybe a Rich Gannon, Chris Chandler. Chris Chandler was drafted very, very high, never lived up to anything. And then at the end of his career, had a nice run with the Atlanta Falcons. Rich Gannon was a journeyman quarterback forever with several stops in Minnesota and Washington or whatever, and then goes to Oakland late in his career and is lights out, you know, when he has, you know, the right structure around him. You know, there are stories like that, and Nick Foles is going to be one of those things. I think 7-8 years from now, when people look back and they look over his career, and it's going to be, how come nobody ever gave this guy a shot early? And what did they not see? Alex Smith was almost that way. But it was a little bit different because Smith was always a starter in the league. But he was a guy that everybody kept trying to move on from. I remember Harbaugh and that crew in San Francisco. They just kind of moved on from him. It's like, you know, Kansas City kind of moved on from him. But when you really, really look at Alex Smith, Vinny Testaverde, same thing. But even though those guys played more and they actually had people who actually gave them chances, it's one of those careers when you're going to look back and you're going to look on paper and either the accomplishments exceed the on paper accomplishments actually exceed what it really was, like in the case of like Testaverde, or it'll be like Chad Pennington, where you look on paper and it's not, you go, oh, that guy wasn't that great, but the thought in everybody's mind was that he was better than what his stats say. And I think it's going to be one of those things with Nick Foles. Are we going to look back and he's going to be more accomplished as a quarterback than what he is on paper? Jim Plunkett's a two-time champion, and a lot of y'all probably don't remember Jim Plunkett, but he just won in big games, and he was at his absolute best in big games. But he kind of plodded through his career a little bit, and was never really that dude who was that dude. So I think when I hear a guy like Calais Campbell, who's about as upfront and as honest as you're gonna get, when he says stuff like that if he hadn't gotten hurt, he thought he would have been an MVP candidate. I believe him. I believe he really feels that. And whether you think it's true or not, or whether I think it's true or not, that doesn't get away from the fact that I believe that the guy that's the team leader, the guy that's one of the best players on this team, one of the best players in the league at his position and his class personified, I believe that he believes it. And that's more important than what I think. And that's more important than what you think. Because what's going to happen is if those guys believe that he's that good, then that bodes well for this team. There's nothing like having a guy that you believe is that good. And this is nothing against Gardner Minshew, but Gardner's still a rookie. I think Gardner was the rookie that they all depended on, and it was like, come on, man, we got your back. And then Gardner steps up, and they were like, okay, this kid got something. Go ahead, do your thing, man. You know what I'm saying? But I do think that there are rookie things that catch up to you. So the thing is, and we went through this last week, whether it was online or whether it was through social media or even through these podcasts, the various podcasts, there's a lot of good Jaguars podcasts out there. We went through it last week, like, why don't you just keep playing the kid? And I'm thinking, like, you don't keep playing the kid because if there's a chance you can make a run, and this is kind of what Nick Foles does, you do it. And if it doesn't look right, snatch him out of there and go back with the kid, and now you got even a bigger hero situation than you had when this stuff first started. But I do believe that it's important that those players believe what Calais Campbell said. And I think not only him, I think there are other people that believe it. I think the receivers, I think they're going to keep running now. I don't think they're going to shorten stuff. I don't think you see as much back shoulder throws as well as you see guys trying to go get the ball and them using their speed deep down the field. The key to this entire thing, though, is the offensive line. If in these games I saw yesterday, the offensive line had to keep the quarterback upright because that pressure is coming and those delayed blitzes are coming. So the offensive line, Jacksonville's offensive line, I think has been its Achilles heel in the passing game, and they're going to have to play extremely well and better down the stretch than they did at points for Gardner Minshew because Nick Foles is not as mobile. All right, happy Veterans Day again, once again, to everyone out there in Jacksonville and in other places. Jags are back this week, and as we get more press releases, I'll let you know how the team is talking, what they're feeling like, and we'll see if they can go out and get a victory this week, and then win this game this week, and then go out to Tennessee and punch the Titans in the face. All right, until tomorrow, it's T-Wig with Locked On Jaguars.